With all the bad news around us, how do you stay secure and strong and full of faith and stable in the Lord? We'll tell you how today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's so much bad news. There's so much chaotic news. We as people of God need to hear the best news of all, the truth about God. Today on The Line of Fire, I want to encourage you, friends, in the midst of the chaos and bad news of society, I want to encourage you with some practical principles as to how you can live full of faith, full of confidence, stable and secure in the midst of economic downturns or calamity. It's possible. We'll talk about it today. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. You can always reach us through our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on contact if you want to get a message to us. Also today, I plan to do some special, you've got questions, we've got answers. We're going to take some time today. Some of you aren't able to call in on a Friday when we do this. So if you'd like to get in the queue right now, if you have a question for me that you want to ask relating to scripture, relating to theology, a practical ministry question, a church controversy, something you're trying to sort out in your own life or family or just in your own studies, we'll be taking some questions as well, and I'll be answering some e-questions, 866-348-7884. I know it's Monday, but we're going to do a special You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers edition over the course of the broadcast as well. I was at an event Thursday night in Greater Charlotte area. It was the installation of Dr. Richard Land as the new president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. And I have the joy of teaching at a number of different seminaries, Southern Evangelical and Gordon Conwell in the Charlotte area, Denver Theological Seminary in Denver, and then the King's University, which is now being based primarily in Dallas, Texas. And then, of course, on a weekly basis, I pour into our wonderful students at Fire School of Ministry. And then after the installation of Dr. Land, I drove to Raleigh, where I was going to be ministering through the weekend, and got in, 11:30, 12 at night. I'm a late night person. Just had a wonderful time with the Lord on the drive. Got into my room, started getting into some other things. I was reading an advanced copy of John MacArthur's book, Strange Fire, which we're going to be talking about on tomorrow's broadcast. And just reflecting on the calling of God on my life, the things he wanted me to do. And it's late. I'd been on the run. I'd flown home from New York City Monday night, did radio Monday day, flew to Miami Monday night, spoke to several hundred leaders for our wonderful Miami station on 1080 AM, The Answer. Spoke there Tuesday morning, straight to radio, straight to the airport, flew home Tuesday night, Thursday, back on the road, busy ministry schedule through the weekend. And I was laying in bed, and I was just so full of the sense of grace and God being with me, and just so full of this sense of what a joy to be called by God. What a joy to be in the service of God. And Paul wrote to the Galatians and asked them, what happened to all your joy? The Greek is the same word that's used in the Beatitudes, blessed, truly happy. What happened to your happiness? What happened to your blessed estate? And we may be going through severe trials sometimes because of which we're grieving and we're not in joy. But otherwise, if we're in the will of God, we should be experiencing his joy and blessing. And if we're not, either we're pushing too hard or we're out of his will or we fall into legalistic, performance-based religion or we're playing games with sin. Otherwise, friends, that joy, it's life.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Joy to the world, He is risen.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Come on. With that reality, friends, the reality that Jesus is risen and is Lord and is coming again, even in your worst, darkest hour, there is hope. There is victory. There is a bright future if you're rightly attached to the Lord. If not, keep listening. Keep listening today. You will be encouraged. I've got about, seven things written down that will help you be encouraged and strong in the Lord. And I'm going to go through Psalm 112 as well. And then we're doing a special edition. If you've got questions, we've got answers today. So feel free to call in 866-348-7884. In fact, Matt, I'm going to do this announcement, and then I'm going to go to Psalm 112 shortly after that. Just a little in-house production note. All right. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to do something very important. I have great respect for Pastor John MacArthur and for many of the speakers that are going to be involved at the Strange Fire Conference. I don't know all of them, but those that I know I have a lot of respect for. And I have some real differences and I have some real concerns in terms of Pastor MacArthur's take on the charismatic movement and the continuation of the gifts and power of the Spirit today in the church. I've been sent an advanced copy of his book, Strange Fire, by the publisher. His conference is about to happen this week. So we're going to play some quotes that Pastor MacArthur has been putting out on his website in advance of the Strange Fire Conference, different speakers with their different quotes. We're going to be playing those. We're going to be interacting with those. We're going to be interacting with things that he says in his book. I want to say plainly, I have some grave, grave concerns about where this is going, as well as full agreement, there are things that need to be corrected. So be sure to join me on the next broadcast right here on The Line of Fire. Okay, before I go to your calls, before I start to lay out principles to help you be encouraged in the Lord, Psalm 112. I want to read through Psalm 112. In fact, I've got my Hebrew Bible in hand. I want to read this through. I'll read it in Hebrew and translate it, all right? And I want to encourage you, because there's always going to be bad news. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you'll have tribulation. There's going to be pressure, difficulty. There are going to be hard times that come. There are going to be ups. There are going to be downs. There are going to be good seasons and bad seasons. How do we walk with encouragement and faith and stability in the midst of it? I mean, there's more and more talk about where the government shutdown could be heading, the political parties colliding with each other with good reason. Very few Americans have a lot of faith right now in our governmental system. Where are things heading? People talking about the debt limit, and there could just be complete collapse for the nation. And then there are always the weather patterns and disturbing news about this and that and the latest violence. And how do you live with stability and faith in the midst of it? Listen to Psalm 112. Begins with the words, Hallelujah. Ashrei ish arei et Adonai. Truly happy, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Here's a simple principle. If you have a right fear of the Lord and walk in the fear of the Lord, you don't have to fear anybody else or anything else. And then it says this, B'mitzvotav chafetz ma'od. He delights greatly in his commandments, in the Lord's commandments. Be it the Old Testament believer under the Sinai covenant, delighting in God's law and commandments, be it those of us now in the new covenant, we are to be delighting in the commandments of the Lord. Yeshua himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then it says this, Gibor ba'aretz yehezar'o, dor yesharim yivarach. His seed will be mighty in the land. Friends, when you honor the Lord and serve him, there's a promise on your children as well. And then it says, the generation of the upright will be blessed. It may look like you're being scorned. It may look like you're being passed by. It may look like the worldly wise and the savvy in this age are putting us down. Long term, it pays to be right with God and walk with God. And even you'll be surprised how many times it pays in the short term as well. Now look at this. It says, Hon va'osher beveto. Riches and wealth are in his house. Now, this was especially a promise under the old covenant, earthly blessing, but certainly in the new covenant, there's an ongoing promise of provision, that in the midst of calamity in the world, we may not be driving Ferraris and eating filet mignon, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but we are promised God's provision so that we can be blessings to others in the midst of a hurting world. Vitzitkato, omitted laud, his righteousness, here I take it especially in terms of his good deeds and his acts of charity, will remain forever. Zarach b'choshech or la'sharim. Light shines or rises in the midst of darkness for the upright. That's a promise from God. There will be darkness in this world. There will be darkness we go through in our own lives, but light will rise, light will shine in the midst of it. Chanun v'rachum. But tzaddik, it speaks here of the righteous, and it's words that are very similar to the words that were spoken about the Lord in Psalm 111. He is kindly or gracious and compassionate and righteous. We reflect the Lord. Our lives reflect the Lord. That's where our stability comes from. That's where our strength comes from. Tov, ish, chonein, umalveh, good or blessed is the man who's gracious and lends. Yechalchel devarav b'mishpat. His words, his deeds will be sealed, strengthened together in justice. Hard to pronounce, to translate that Hebrew precisely. But understand this. We are not moved by what's happening around us. We continue to operate on God's principles. We're generous. Our lifestyle is based on God's promises, not based on the economy. We're going to continue to bless. We're going to continue to help the needy. We're going to continue to do what's right. Ki le'olam lo yimot. He will never be shaken. He will never totter. Lezecher olam yeyet tzaddik. The righteous will have an everlasting memory. In other words, they will be remembered for righteousness forever. And then look at this. One of my favorite parts of the psalm, Mishmoa ra'a lo yira. He will not fear a bad report. Literally, from bad news, he will have no fear. Why? Because he fears the Lord. He doesn't need to fear bad news. Nachon libo batuach ba'adonai. His heart is established. Literally, it is trusted in the Lord. You know my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, his last name Boteach means trusting. This is batuach, which literally means trusted. He's trusted in the Lord. We're in that attitude of secure trust. Samuch libo lo yira ad asher yireh betzarav. Samuch libo, it's literally his heart is leaned. You ever lean against a wall or lean against someone and then maybe the thing moves and you know the support wasn't as stable as you thought? Well, we're leaned on the Lord, but he's fully stable. And we've got nothing to fear until we'll ultimately see God's judgment on those who oppose him. Bizar natan le'evyonim tzidkato omeret la'ad. So he shares widely, spreads out his riches. He gives to the needy, and his righteousness, his good deeds stand forever. Karno tarum v'chabot. His horn, which speaks of glory and honor, will be exalted in honor. Rasha yireh v'cha'ash shinav. So the wicked sees and gnashes his teeth. Yechrok v'namas tavat rasha'im toveid. And ultimately, with all of his plotting, with all of his planning, he's just going to fade away and come to nothing. Friends, don't be moved from your stand for what's right. Don't be moved from your stand for truth. Don't be moved from your stand for generosity to the poor and the hurting. Don't be moved from your godly value system. The day will come when the world, when sinners, when mockers will envy you. Stand strong, fear the Lord, and you've got nothing else to fear. All right. I've been wanting to read Psalm 112 to you. I hope it edified you as much as it edified me. We come back, We will go to the phones, take your calls. Again, I'm doing in the midst of this broadcast a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. And I am going to comment on a few news items, some things we should know about, and then pray accordingly. And I'm going to give you, 7, 8 steps to help you stand secure in the Lord, help you to live out the things we talked about in Psalm 112 right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire broadcast. 866-348-7884. About to go to the phones. Let me give you one key principle in the midst of instability, in the midst of bad news, in the midst of chaos. Know where you're going. Know where you're going. The worst fear that someone would have would be death. Oh, I know you might have some fear of being buried alive or something, but you know what I'm saying. That basically speaking, if you hear someone was in a car, someone borrowed your vehicle, they borrowed your car and you heard something happen in the car and say, oh man, they messed up the car, and they said, no, they actually got in an accident. Well, now you're concerned, was the person okay? Well, how bad is it? And, you know, the worst thing is that the person died. But for the believer, that's never the worst thing. It's never the worst thing because it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. No, it's not that we don't take death seriously, but it's lost its sting. And we first just have to know that in the worst possible case scenario to us or loved one, we go to be with the Lord and we're with him forever. And we need to start there. So you can't be threatened with death because death has lost its sting. Hebrews 2 says that Satan kept people in bondage through fear of death that's broken over us in Jesus. I heard a story from a friend. It was a friend of his was carjacked. Well, actually, someone jumped in his car, someone jumped in the front seat, someone jumped in the back seat. They put a gun to his head, and they said, give us all your money or we'll kill you. And he responded with tremendous joy and said, you would do that for me? You would send me to be with Jesus? You would actually send me to be with Jesus right now? And he got so excited, praising the Lord, the people got completely spooked and ran out of the car. That's what you're talking about, having a real hope in the world to come. That's what you're talking about, knowing the Lord. That's what you're talking about, death has lost its sting. All right, to the phones. Let's go to Dustin in Windsor, Ontario, in Canada. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me, beloved. I really appreciate it. I've actually had some correspondence with you via Facebook before. I don't know if you remember me, but I posted a Frank Schaeffer lecture on your wall one time. I believe it was last summer, and we spoke briefly on that, and just some other issues relating to my testimony and the issue of legalism. And
yeah, got it. And I certainly do remember the Francis Schaeffer video.
Right. Well, I'm glad you remember that.
Yes.
First, let me say that on my bucket list is to have you come and speak at my church one day. So I hope we can make that happen. Just putting that out there.
All right.
And I want to just, you know, I have some friends that are listening right now. So I just want to wish them the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and you as well and all your listeners.
Well, thank you.
The reason I'm calling today, actually, dealing with this issue of faith and fear, is I often wonder, and I could probably speak for some people when I say this, is my walk correct? Because I'm big on history, historical Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, ancient Near Eastern religion. In fact, this historical context was one of the things that the Lord used to bring me into the knowledge of the exalted divine Christ, who before was anathema to me. I came from a path, a religion that totally rejected any notion of his sacrificial atonement, his resurrection, and to be sure, his divinity. But studying, you know, the works of Margaret Barker and others, and yourself is included in that, God totally opened the eyes of my heart to see him in his fullness and his glory. And one of the things that's done is set me free, not only from the power and the grip of sin and the death that sin brings spiritually, but in terms of just a legalistic lifestyle, because the path that I'd come from, or the articulation of that path, because it's not monolithic, was that if you don't do things at an exact way at a certain time of the day or time of the year, this leads directly to some form of punishment in the hereafter and maybe even ostracization from the kingdom of God altogether. And so to this day, even though Christ has set me free, I still struggle with this issue of keeping the law or observing the law. And what I wanted to use as a context for my question would be the early church. And if we start with, for example, James and the Jerusalem church, that's often contrasted with the Apostle Paul and the way that he taught the Gentiles. And I had a brother, Anthony Cummings, he called in on Friday from Mobile, Alabama, and you briefly spoke on this with him. But the issue of, you know, Gentiles not being under the law as a system of justification, or Jewish believers for that matter, of course, but historians often paint this picture that even though the law is not salvation, the Jewish believers in particular wouldn't have all of a sudden, because of Christ's death and resurrection, forsaken the system of worship that they would have known since they were children, right? This just wouldn't have been natural for them.
Right, they wouldn't have. Yeah, and I've just got to jump in to start to answer your question just as I'm looking at the clock here, Dustin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In short, number one, the New Testament documents and all of the writings of the early leaders, the disciples of the apostles and their disciples, indicate clearly that Gentile believers were not living like Jews. And one of the clearest ways that we know this is that as the church, the Messianic congregation, became more and more Gentile, they didn't understand why the Jews were still living as Jews, Jewish believers. So it was totally clear on every level from the New Testament documents themselves, from Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 7, if you're saved and circumcised, don't become circumcised. Gentiles don't need to become Jews. From warnings in Colossians 2 about people putting pressure on you to observe the Sabbath or new moons or things like that, or judge your spirituality based on that. Even the larger principles from Romans 14, whatever he's initially dealing with there, it's 100% clear that although some of the Gentile believers, like at Corinth, might have started in the synagogue and they would have known some Jewish calendar and background and things like that, it's 100% clear that they were not commanded to, called to live like Jews. In fact, it made no sense, and that was the big issue that came up in Acts, the 15th chapter. These were things that God had given Israel, A, to keep them separate, and B, to lead them up to the coming of the Messiah. So for a Jewish believer, keeping the law on this side of the cross is totally different than before the cross. And for Gentile believers, without question, it is not something that he ever required or laid on people. And the whole of the New Testament makes that plain. Hey, Dustin, I've got to run, but thank you for the call. Friends, as I was praying and thinking about a way to encourage you and minister grace and hope to you, I thought of the amazing DVD that we put out a few years back, From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, the amazing story of New York's most notorious serial killer, Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, miraculously saved and turned into a wonderful, caring child of God. It's a $15 DVD plus postage, but it's yours for your gift of any size. So stand with us, help us in the work that we're doing, and my gift of appreciation to you, the Son of Sam DVD. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. It's really the Son of Hope DVD. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. And we're bringing you words of encouragement today. We're also doing a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, and talking about how to respond to what's happening in the world, what's happening in the news, without losing hope, without falling into fear. You know, over in Australia, friends, there was a March for Life. LifeSite News reports on Saturday, the Australian March for Babies turns violent. U.S. pro-life activists, MPs, assaulted by pro-abortion mob. Yeah, this happened in Australia. A pro-life Victoria member of parliament, Bernie Finn, told the press that he was belted in the head and pelted with eggs. And that fellow pro-life MP, so these are like congressional members, Andrew Ellsbury, was thrown to the ground and stomped on. What we saw today was literally a public mugging on the streets of Melbourne. And Victoria police let it happen, Finn fumed. We had people being assaulted, being kicked, being stomped on, and they, meaning the police, sat back and watched. Trouble began brewing even before the march began. When the pro-life activists tried to begin the march, they were blocked by the mob of about 200 pro-abortion protesters. So we all sat in protest and started praying. Then the police let them start attacking us. After this, the pro-lifers tried to begin march again, but the counter-protesters pushed back, preventing them from doing so. The standoff continued for over an hour before the pro-lifers decided to change their route. But that was when things started to get really ugly. Quote, this is from Brian Kemper, pro-life activist. As we got to the stage, the pro-aborts took over our stage and started stealing banners and signs. That is when I was knocked to the ground and kicked and stepped on. Eventually, we got our stage back and finished, but many of our people were assaulted, but we never gave up, and I gave my speech. The police were useless. Extraordinary. Did you even hear about that? Did you even hear about that news in America? Probably not. The violence of the pro-abortion crowd, attacking pro-lifers, kicking, stomping on, knocking down, police doing nothing. Yeah, it is outrageous. And it's easy to get agitated. And there is a righteous indignation. There is a righteous rebuke for this. There is a righteous rebuke of the police if these reports are accurate and they stood by and did nothing. However, in the midst of it, we have to turn to God. We have to turn to God who rules and reigns. And we have to do what the apostles did in Acts, the fourth chapter, when they were threatened for the gospel, when they were told there would be serious consequences for preaching the gospel. What did they do? How did they pray in Acts 4? Lord, Lord, look at their threats. Look at what they're saying. In this case, look at their violence. Look at their anger. Look at their hatred. Look at their commitment to kill the unborn. Look at how violently they oppose those who stand for life. Consider their threats and do what? Smite them, kill them, destroy them? No. Give us boldness to preach. Give us boldness to preach. Give us boldness to stand strong and declare the good news. And back the word of Jesus, the message of Jesus, with signs and wonders and miracles and power. By the way, I believe that prayer that the apostles prayed in Acts 4 is fully applicable today. Obviously, Pastor John MacArthur and the Strange Fire Conference would have a different take on that, but I say, pray that prayer. Let God back the preaching of Jesus. Lord, look at the threats, and then back your word.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Understanding, he will come, come with compassion, come to forgive all of the world of sin.
Oh, yes.
And he will save all of the weak and tender-hearted.
What words? What truth? What music? Yeah. The Talbot Brothers from the Painter album. I remember getting that when it came out, and Nancy and I just being amazed by the quality of that music, the sound, the words. And as we talk about living with faith and confidence in an unstable world, living with faith and joy in the midst of depressing bad news, there are ways to live that will help us to be victorious and strong no matter what comes our way. You say, that's easy for you to say. You live in America and you're not on the streets and you're healthy. Yeah, but I've had some times, Nancy's had some times where we've been through hellish trials and attacks. God's grace was there. And we have friends in all parts of the world. We have friends who've lost loved ones to the gospel, and they're moving forward. And people who've endured losses that I can hardly imagine, and they're strong in the Lord. His grace is sufficient. 866-348-7884. Even though it's Monday, in addition to giving you words of encouragement and giving you my perspective on the news, I'm in particular sharing words of encouragement with you. In fact, I spoke earlier from Psalm 112, and we'll put that up in video form in the next 24 hours. And remember to tune into tomorrow's broadcast as we'll be interacting with the speakers and the book for the Strange Fire Conference of John MacArthur. No, they won't be on the air with me, but I'll be playing clips from them and interacting with Pastor MacArthur's book. So first thing, make sure you know where you're going. Make sure you know where you're going. Make sure you know if you were to leave this world that you're right with God, that your sins are forgiven, that you have absolute confidence that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Number two, know who's ultimately in control. Know the one who rules and reigns. Know that ultimately, if God is for us, nobody, nothing can be against us. You know, on a certain level, once you understand who Jesus is, you just need to know he's risen. You just need to know he's risen. In fact, Joey, let me know when you have clip number 8 ready. I just want us to remember this. When you know he's risen, when you know that death has no hold on the Son of God, that he rose from the dead and ascended to seat at the right hand of his Father, everything else is going to work out just as he said. Ultimately, what God spoke will come to pass. The Son of God risen, ascended, enthroned, and he will come back and destroy the godless from the earth and establish his kingdom on the earth. And day by day, our life is in his hands. So know where you're going. Know who's ultimately in control. And then, three, remember Romans 8:28, that all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Or as another Greek text would read, in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, even if the thing itself is bad, even if the thing itself is negative, even if the thing itself is destructive, even if the thing itself is a setback, even if the thing in and of itself is bad, painful, difficult, harmful, hurtful, if you love God, if you love God and your life belongs to him and you're seeking to please him, he will take all those things and turn them around for good. As someone has said, the stumbling blocks become stepping stones. Before we go to the phones, just another reminder, he is risen.
When they turned and they looked, he wasn't
alive and well. Come back from the dead, conquer the gates of hell. He is risen. I do believe he's risen.
Risen. John Michael Talbot again reminding us it's true. It's true. It's not just a myth, not just a story. And that name of Jesus going forth around the earth, radically transforming lives and breaking the power of Satan over lives, even as we speak. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Jenny in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome, Dr. Brown. My question is, reading Psalm 1, and how do I apply this, the second verse, delighting in the law? Is it the law like the Ten Commandments, or is it it's more than that? And in his law, he meditates day and night. How does one or me apply that, or daily, or, you know, try to do that?
Sure. If you look at Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you look at John 15:7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it'll be done. As we have more and more of the scripture and of the words of Jesus, we take in more and more. In other words, I take that the law, the Hebrew just means the teaching or the instruction of the Lord. So I want to meditate on all of the scriptures. I want to meditate on everything God's given me. I want to meditate on the words of the Psalms, like Psalm 1. I want to meditate on the words of the prophets. I want to meditate on the Ten Commandments. I want to meditate on the creation. I want to meditate on the words of Jesus. I want to meditate on the words of Paul. In other words, it's the whole of Scripture. That's the teaching of the Lord. So with each generation, as more and more Scripture was given in ancient times, there was now more and more to meditate on, more to take in. So it does not mean exclusively the Ten Commandments or the five books of Moses. It really means all of God's teaching, all of God's word. So those that just had the five books of Moses, that's what they would meditate on. Those who then had the five books of Moses and some of the prophetic books or historical books, they now had more to meditate on. And the Hebrew for meditate is to repeat, recite. So it's constantly having it before us, on our lips, in our mind. When our daughters were little, and Nancy's busy through the day as a young mother would be with little kids, she would keep the Bible out in the kitchen because she was constantly walking in and out of the kitchen and through the kitchen. And throughout the day, she would just stop and look at a scripture, meditate on it, read it, and go on, because she didn't have the long periods of time that she had before the kids were born during the day. So that's what we want to do. Have the word before us, all of the word, all of the teaching of the Lord. Meditate on it, recite it, repeat it, look at it, and of course our lives will be radically changed as we do.
Okay, then, meditation part, I'm glad that you answered that. You know, reading it and memorizing it, you know, daily.
Yeah, quoting it, speaking it, yeah, singing it, all these different ways, absolutely.
All right, thank you so much. Bless you and your family.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the very practical question. 866-34-TRUTH. Edwin in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
I had a question actually to piggyback off of an earlier caller, Dustin from Canada.
Yes.
In regards to his Frank Schaefer video. Now, in the video, I've seen the video that he also was talking about, and I think, at least also for me, that I have a struggle with some of the similar issues, is trying to understand the, not so much the Jewish early Christian followers, but from the late first century up until the fourth century, how the Gentile Jewish, how the Gentile Christian followers followed Christ in the Eucharist and other ritualistic forms that Frank Schaefer mentions in the video and other scholars have mentioned in the past. That no matter where you went in early Christendom, Gentile Christendom, if you're thrown into the the ceremonies of the church, you would find a uniformity and a consistency that you never see today.
Let me just jump in, and I appreciate the question. I want to ask you a couple of questions. We got a break, and then you can think about your answer during the break, and I'll come back to you on the other side. First, tell me all the documents that attest this. Let's say all the second century documents, so within 100 years of the New Testament, all the second century documents that clearly attest what you're speaking about. All right, let's start there. And then what are the fundamentals that you find there that you don't find among believers today? All right, we'll be right back. Appreciate the question.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Monday, but we are taking some calls with a special edition. If you've got questions, we've got answers. I've got some email questions I'm going to get to. And we're also primarily giving you words of encouragement, faith, strength, how to live for God, how to be strong, how to not be moved by the shifting tides of the day and age in which we live. 866-34-TRUTH. Before the break, I was talking with Edwin in Cherry Hills, New Jersey. And Edwin, you mentioned a certain uniformity in the early church, that it seemed all the Gentile believers were performing certain rituals. Now, interestingly enough, during the break, you mentioned the Eucharist, communion in particular. During the break, I just got up from my desk and picked up a book from my bookshelves by David Burcott, A Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs, and I opened it, and it opened up to the section on the Eucharist, so I happened to be right there at the moment. But my question for you, Edwin, was when you mentioned the uniformity and how consistent this is, first, which are the documents? How many documents do we actually have from the second century? And then secondly, what were these uniform things that we're not doing today? So back to you.
Well, I think that the question really is a matter of, like, if you read, I have a copy of the Nicene and post-Nicene Fathers, and in going through some of the works some years ago and reading other books by scholars of the early church.
Just hang on one second, though. That's a completely different question, though. You're talking now 4th century and after. So there's tons of stuff. Tons of stuff that's come in at that point that hardly resembles the New Testament. All types of traditions, which many of which I would reject, and some of which were based on anti-Semitism. So we're talking about the 2nd century. That was our question.
Right. Well, in particular, just in general, the Didache, the name skips my head off of Clementine, the first first century.
Okay, so we have a few writers. We have Ignatius. We have Justin Martyr. Irenaeus. Excuse me, I meant to say we have Justin Martyr. Irenaeus, we have Clement of Alexandria a little bit later, the Didache. And of course, the Didache is fully assuming that you have prophets in the early church and how to determine who's a false prophet and a true prophet. But there's very, very little in these documents. It's just a precious few things. You have clear leadership. You clearly have prophetic ministry that exists. It's understood that there's regular prayer, reciting of the Lord's Prayer, that Eucharist communion is important. But what is it that you see that's there that you don't see today?
Well, I guess my question more is in regards to understanding the point of, in particular, Frank Schaeffer. And I don't want to, the only reason why I use him is because his video in particular was in regards to how he went from one position of his life to another. And one of the things he, as a scholar, had noticed, and when he studied the subject, he came to the conclusion of. And so I only use him as a reference.
No, I understand. And he's the bad one to use now because he's completely turned against the faith in so many ways.
Right.
But here's the point. All he did was buy into the Greek Orthodox argument that they are the original church. And I have Catholic listeners that would say, no, it's Catholic Church, it's the original church. And then I have Messianic Jewish listeners who say, no, it's the Messianic Jewish expression that's original. And then I have general Protestant evangelicals say, no, it's just what the word says, that's the original. All this is disputed. That's the point. And what we do have in common is the New Testament scriptures. All these other groups argue about things, and there are certain, you know, the Shepherd of Hermas was widely used by the early church, but we don't accept that as in any way scriptural or canonical. So the Didache, was that primarily for Jewish believers? Was that circulated among Jewish believers? Is that its origin? So there are questions about these things, but what everyone agrees on, our Catholic friends, our evangelical friends, our Messianic Jewish friends, our Greek Orthodox friends, is that what's written in the New Testament is binding. And that is what we all have in common as followers of Jesus, as opposed to traditional Jews who'd reject the New Testament. So that's what we have to go back to. If you can demonstrate it to me based on Scripture, okay, great. If you can't, then all we have is very interesting, supportive writings that talk about certain practices at certain times among certain believers. And even there, it's not uniform because they're writing to different groups in different places. So, look,
how do we understand that in context of the Holy Spirit in this, in regards to, I can see how, in scriptural sense, an unfolding. So that way we can see that there's a fluidity in the whole revelation. But once you get out of the New Testament period in regards to the history of the church in general, at what point do we say, well, you know what, we have to agree on these set principles, and it's no more just to kind of say, you know, whatever generation sees fit.
Yeah, tell you what, I gotta jump in just like as with Dustin, as you guys are really thoughtful about these things and have considered them in depth. Unfortunately, on radio, time is limited. That's where life in the Spirit comes in, and that's where fellowship within the body comes in, and that's where we recognize that no one group has all of it. No one group has everything right and every aspect of practice perfect. So we major on the majors. We major on the majors. We allow for diversity in the other areas, and we have life in the Spirit. That is a fundamental presupposition of the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit then guides us in the forming and forging of our communities. Hey, Edwin, I've got to run, but thank you for the calls. You know, many of you are praying for people, family members, loved ones that are really in bad shape. As I travel, people come up to me and say, please pray for my kid, pray for this one, pray for my spouse. I get email requests, urgent situations. A lot of them seem hopeless. I want to send you encouragement this week. As I was praying and thinking about this last night, I looked at our video resource from Son of Sam to Son of Hope, the extraordinary story of David Berkowitz, the most notorious serial killer in New York history, radically redeemed, transformed by the Lord. It's an amazing story. It's a powerful, edifying DVD to watch. It's been shown in prisons and high schools. Great to watch with your family. It'll encourage your faith. And it's yours for your gift of any size. So pick up the phone now. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, how certain is your future? It is as certain as your relationship with the God who rules and reigns in the universe. With all the bad news around us, how do you stay secure and strong and full of faith and stable in the Lord? We'll tell you how today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, if you had a choice today of being encouraged or discouraged, build up in hope or have your hope torn down, which would you choose? Well, of course, you want to be encouraged. You want your hope built up. I want to do that very thing today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm also going to be taking your questions. We'll do a special edition. If you've got questions, we've got answers on The Line of Fire. Maybe you're unable to get through on Friday as we do that. So a little later in the broadcast, I'm going to be taking your calls. So now is a good time to call and get in the queue. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A special shout out to all of my friends in Raleigh. What a joy to meet so many of you with your smiling faces. Some of you have been listening for over 5 years on our great station there, WDRU. So we had a wonderful time ministering on Hyper Grace, Grace and Holiness Friday night, Saturday night, two Sunday morning services at Victory Church, and then drove home back to the Charlotte Concord area after that. So thanks for being there. And all of you who hadn't listened before but found out about the broadcast over the weekend, welcome to the program, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Doing what I do, I am constantly reminded of bad news. Doing what I do, I constantly have people sending me bad news. As I'm researching, writing articles, I am constantly coming in contact with bad news. And every day, I get from Salem Communications, Salem National News and Public Affairs, snippets of news. So I'm looking at what I got today. Progress, but still shut down, with lots of news links. What's happening with the government shutdown? And then Obamacare continues to fail. Obamacare is causing hospitals to cut staff. And then crew members call Captain Phillips a lie as they claim he put them in danger, unlike the movie version played by Tom Hanks. And then 15 years later, tobacco settlement money misused. And then this news item, youth pastors banned from middle school after word they may have been proselytizing. A board president called it dangerous. And then survivor shelter business booming, and the shelters are getting fancy. People buying survivor shelters because they think the world's going to come crashing down. And then man hired to help kids cross road threatened with suspension for high fives. He chose to quit rather than respond to the suspension. Well, that's just some news items for the day. You read those things. Some of them make your blood boil. Some of them are concerning. Some of them are depressing. And then you look at world news. Well, if I just go over to one website with news headlines, there's a lot of bad stuff going on there. And there are concerns. There are people talking about with all the money America owes, there could be a complete crash of the American economy. And there's a lot of bad news out there. However, we, as God's people, operate on different principles. We, as God's people, are not moved by what the world is moved by. Oh, there are realities that affect every one of us. They can affect the job market. They can affect our lifestyle. They can affect many things around us. They can affect our families and friends. However, we are not moved. When we come back, I want to open up Philippians 4 to you. I want to continue to give you principles, how you can live with faith, stability, security, confidence, in the midst of a crazy, messed up world.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in thee.
I tell you what, you stop and give thanks for a while. You step back from what's happening, even in the worst, most hellish, difficult situation you can imagine. God remains good. God remains faithful. God remains worthy of praise. You can thank him for who he is, and you probably find other things to thank him for. You start to be thankful. You start to give praise instead of complaint. You'd be amazed how your attitude changes, and you'd be amazed how things around you start to change. Welcome to The Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Blessed and delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. This Monday, I want to encourage you and strengthen you and help build hope and faith in your life in the Lord. First thing, you got to know where you're going. You got to know for sure that your relationship is right with God. So if you're to leave this world absent from the body, present with the Lord, to depart and be with Jesus, far better. That the worst case scenario, death in this world, you get to go be with the Lord. Death loses its sting. And then second, know who's ultimately in control. Know that Wall Street is not ultimately in control, that the president and Congress are not ultimately in control, that the media is not ultimately in control, that some foreign nation is not ultimately in control, that the World Bank is not ultimately in control, that the devil is not ultimately in control. God ultimately rules and reigns. At any moment, God can put his foot down, so to say, and stop whatever he wants to stop. At any moment, he can destroy whatever is wicked and destructive. The fact that he allows things to happen and works out his purposes in the midst of it is because he is far wiser and actually far better than any of us could imagine. But I can go to sleep in perfect peace knowing God is God. Now, if I'm walking in sin and disobedience and I'm outside of his will, if I claim to have peace, it would be a deception. It would not be the real deal. It would not be anything that could be called perfect peace in any way, shape, size, or form. However, if I'm right with him and my life belongs to him, it doesn't matter what's coming against me, I can rest secure. I can rest secure that he's God, that he's my father, that he is king, and that he will accomplish his purposes for my life to his glory. And then three, I want to always remember Romans 8:28. That no matter what comes my way, even if the thing itself is bad, Romans 8:28, which so many of you know, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, or in a more common translation, we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Sometimes we misread that as if certain things themselves are good. Sometimes we misread them as if things that happen are all good. No, there are bad things that happen. There are things that in themselves are bad, evil, destructive, harmful. There are things that in and of themselves are from the pit. There are things that in and of themselves reflect the nature of Satan and not the nature of God. However, God can cause all things to work for good. Or in all things, he can work for the good. That terrible thing that happened to you was terrible. That car wreck through that drunken driver was terrible. That loss of a loved one was terrible. That rape of that woman was terrible. That unscrupulous person that stole your life savings, that was terrible. But if you honor the Lord and lean on him, he can take the things that were the worst, the most ugly, the most tragic, the most difficult, and turn them into opportunities for growth in him and even forward progress in life. And then, number four, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. don't be anxious about anything. But you don't understand. My friend, you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand the problems we're doing. You don't understand what's happened with my kid. He's out of control. You don't understand what just happened with my job. You don't understand the news we just got about the stage 4 cancer. I'm not minimizing that. I am not minimizing the difficulty of situations that some of you are in. Let's keep reading. Do not be anxious about anything. You don't have to be anxious, worried, nervous, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So take the situation, the concern, the weight, the pain, the difficulty, the bad report, give it to God in prayer, supplication, making requests, and do it with thanksgiving. Thanking God for his faithfulness, thanking God for his goodness, thanking God for his grace, thanking God for his kindness, thanking God for the fact that he keeps his word, thanking God that he is a God of life. With thanksgiving, thanking him for past prayers that he answered, thanking him for good things at work in your own life. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You say, but he knows. Yeah, he does, but he calls on us to pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Messiah Jesus. That's when that peace comes. I can't tell you how many times. I cannot tell you how many times I have gone to God burdened about things in life, things in ministry, financial pressure, sickness in the family, some other crisis in someone's life, someone away from the Lord, difficult situations we're passing through. And I've just shared with the Lord, Lord, this is what's on my mind. I'm burdened about this. I'm concerned about this. And when I'm done, I have deep peace. Now, nothing's changed in the natural. And I don't even have answers. I don't even know the way to go. I don't have the wisdom for the decisions I need at that moment. At least I'm not aware of it. But I have total peace. I've given it over to the Lord. And I know he's at work, and we're going to be all right. Finally, Paul writes, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Can I read that again? Yeah, there's bad news. There is. And there's junk on TV, all kinds of unedifying broadcasts to watch. And you fill your mind with the bad news, and you fill your mind with the media junk and the unclean junk. Don't be surprised if your thoughts are junky. Don't be surprised if your attitude is junky. Instead, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So we will sound the alarm about things that are wrong. We will expose the darkness. Ephesians 5, light exposes the darkness. We will rebuke evil. We will address problems. We will seek to awaken believers to the urgency of the hour in which we live. But all in the context of now, let's focus on the Lord and let's get his marching orders. Now, in light of these problems, let's turn to him. Let's not put our head in the sand and deny the problems. Now, let us put our head in the word, in prayer, in worship, in godly meditation, and let's fill our hearts and minds with divine truth. I tell you, the flow of life that comes, the flow of joy that comes, the flow of encouragement that comes, the flow of revelation and wisdom that comes as the Word of God opens up to our hearts and minds, it's incredible. So what are you thinking about? I have a hard time controlling my thoughts. I know sometimes it's like that. That's why sometimes the best thing to do is read the word out loud and repeat it, and speak it, say it out, and then pray over it. Lord, show me what's true and honorable and just and pure. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to look at that. What's lovely, what's commendable. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Change your spiritual and mental and emotional diet. Your whole life will be radically revolutionized. Going to answer some questions and comment on the news when we come back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Hope you're ready to be encouraged, built up, and strengthened. 866-348-7884. Bringing you words of encouragement, faith, and hope in the midst of a dark world. Hey, it's been a dark world since Adam fell. That's the truth of it. With the Jewish people around the world, I started reading through the Torah cycle. I often don't do this, in other words, stay on the same cycle of reading with my Jewish people around the world, but a new cycle of reading through the five books of Moses in Hebrew began again a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in catch-up mode just to get back with everyone, just reading, meditating in the midst of other things that I read in the Word. But it's the early chapters of Genesis. Boy, once the fall comes, there's fear, there's blame casting, there's pain, there's death, there's murder, there's fratricide, one brother killing another brother, there's selfishness, jealousy, envy. It's extraordinary. That's what happened when human beings fell. It's a messed up world. It's been a messed up world. When God destroyed the earth in Noah's day, after he did that in Genesis 8, he said, I'll never do it again. I won't destroy the earth with a flood again. Not because people are better, but because people are so bad. I basically said, I have to destroy them over and over and over again. It's been a messed up world. It was a messed up world when Jesus came into the world. It's going to be a messed up world on some level or another right until he comes. How do we live in the midst of it? John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. Our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, the author and finisher of our faith has overcome the world. And in him, we also overcome. All right, if you've got a question for me, like you'd normally call in on a Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. I want to give you the opportunity to call in today. 866-34-TRUTH. Here is a question from Mark about Adam and Eve. Love your program. I'm so blessed by it. Thank you. You're quite welcome, Mark. Unfortunately, I really get to listen. Well, I hope you get to listen on podcast or archive shows. Could you please tell me your perspective on Adam and Eve? Do you believe that this is truly how God created man, or is my Catholic relatives believe just a fairy tale? I would really appreciate an email response since I don't get to listen very often. Thank you very much in advance. God bless you all. We're not able to respond to everyone via email, but we'll send you the link to this so you know exactly where to tune in so that you can hear this. Oh, of course, Adam and Eve are the first human beings. Some would say that there were beings that were not really human on the earth before them. There's that argument, but there's no question. The first human beings are Adam and Eve. No fairy tale. No fairy tale. No fairy tale. If people think it's a fairy tale, it's just because they have a problem with these historical accounts. But without question, real Adam, real Eve, real fall, real destruction for our race. No question about it. It's the only sound way to read Scripture, and there are enough scientific ways to understand that, reconcile that with other apparent scientific discoveries. A question from James. Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm a big fan of your Think It Through program from England. Ah, our first TV series that aired a few years back on the Inspiration Network. You can watch all the episodes on our website, AskDrBrown.org, right under the Jewish button. You can see the Think It Through series there. Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm a big fan of your Think It Through program from England. Just wondering if you could help me with something. A young lady recently left the Baptist church I go to and is watching sermons on YouTube now. When I spoke to her last week, she explained that she's getting all her teaching from a group called Gathering of Christ Church. And she was passionately explaining to me that we must call God Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, I am who I am, because that's the name he gave to Moses in Exodus 3. I've done a bit of research and have some major concerns about the water teaching of this church and other things she said about the way my church does things, but I would appreciate some help with refuting her assertion that we cannot call on Jesus, God, Lord, Father, or anything else apart from Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. All right, James, I don't know anything about this group, but if she's representing them accurately, I can guarantee that there is all types of other error there. Without question. Without question. It's complete nonsense to say that's the only way God can be addressed. First, he didn't say that's his name. He just said, that's who I am. Then he revealed his name based on that Ehyeh verb. He revealed himself as Yahweh, the most likely pronunciation, the one who brings things into being, the one who causes things to be, traditionally pronounced in English, Jehovah. But then afterwards, he's called God in Scripture. He's called El Shaddai, traditionally God Almighty. He's called Adonai, Lord. And then his character is fully revealed in Jesus. And it speaks of calling on the name of Jesus. Even when it says being baptized in the name of Jesus in Acts 2:38, it's talking about calling on the name of Jesus, being baptized into Jesus. And Philippians 2, this tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, the Messiah, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Peter tells us in Acts 4:12, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. So of course we call him Jesus. Of course we call him Lord. How did Jesus tell us to pray? Our Father in heaven. So whatever in the world this group is saying, if she's accurately representing them, it's completely bogus, and that's why she's broken away from you, because she's gotten involved with some strange group. A few years back, when I was living in Pensacola, a board member of mine became friendly with David Berkowitz. Now, when I first heard about David, he was the son of man, the son of Sam, serial killer in New York City. I remember when I was in college, and it shut down whole areas of New York. The city was terrified. And I remember when he was arrested, I thought, he's a monster. He's a monster. And then I heard he'd gotten saved in prison. I thought, no way, it's just a prison house conversion. It's not real. And one of my friends, a board member, became friendly with him and got to know him well and saw his tender heart and his love for the Lord, because he's transformed. He's transformed. So when I was living in Pensacola, together with evangelist Steve Hill, we produced a DVD from Son of Sam to Son of Hope. It came out in video then. And boy, it had a great impact. We showed it to our whole student body. It was shown in schools, you know, high school kids, to be warned and to see the perils of a real Satan and Satanism. And then from there, to see the real redemptive power of God. Prison chaplains, we sent it out widely. It was shown in prisons. I just wrote an article, my latest article. If you go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the latest article. It's about Justice Scalia and the devil and how people are spooked by the fact he says there's a real devil. You better believe there's a real devil. He's real destructive. But the power and grace of God is more wonderful still. We have made available this DVD. It's normally $15 plus postage. It's yours for your gift of any size. You want to get this? You'll be blessed. You'll be edified. You'll be helped. Show it to your whole family. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. From Son of Sam to Son of Hope.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast today. I was praying, thinking over the weekend, which way did I want to go today? Tomorrow, we're going to be focusing on speakers at the Strange Fire Conference with Pastor John MacArthur and his book on Strange Fire. I was sent an advanced copy of that. And I've got some grave concerns about some of the statements and where it's going, along with agreement with Pastor MacArthur in terms of things that are wrong and that need correction. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow. We have some of our missionaries that are in town, our fire missionaries, grads for our ministry school that are making a great impact for the Lord around America and all over the world. You'll be hearing from many of them in the next week to 10 days. It's always a special time of the year for us. If you live anywhere in the greater Charlotte area, please, please join us for our annual missions conference. It starts this weekend. Just go to fire-international.org. fire-international.org. Your heart will be stirred. You'll be encouraged. If you've been wanting to sow into missions, you can do it. In fact, as you support us, as you sow into our work, the first fruits of everything we get, we sow right into our missionaries. So all of you who are monthly supporters, all of you who help with one-time gifts, the first fruits of everything that comes in goes right out to stand with our missionaries on the field. But you'll be encouraged and stirred as you hear them on the air. And if you can join us face-to-face, wonderful. I'm also taking some questions today as I was praying about which way to go today. I said, I want to encourage, I want to edify, I want to strengthen. So I have been going through principles in Scripture, even went through all of Psalm 112, ways to build you up, strengthen you in God. I'm going to continue to do that, but also have some special time for You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. So if you want to call, like you normally would on a Friday, give me a call and we'll do our best to get to a number of your questions as well. Practical life questions, scriptural questions, ministry controversies, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones right now with Dawn in Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I'm calling, it's today's conversation is actually an answer to a prayer of mine, actually. I've been struggling a lot with this company that I work for presently. I have a boss whose mentality is ask for permission and or ask for forgiveness instead of permission kind of deal. Real big on breaking the rules, doing things his own way. My biggest conflict that I have right now is it's a title loan company. We do loans on car vehicles. The front end of the business is great. It's me being able to go out there and help people with situations that they can't help themselves out of normally. The back end is where, you know, you have the problems. You know, of course, you've got people who can't pay, so now you're picking up cars. You're doing stuff that I hate. I hate doing that. You know, I picked a vehicle up from somebody today who had a triple bypass surgery, a double mastectomy, and everything else in the last month. And, you know, this lady had to give up her car because she was doing the right thing because she couldn't afford to make payment on it. But, you know, that stuff kind of eats at me. I guess my biggest struggle, though, is I really don't believe in what I'm doing. And then on top of everything, I have my boss who pushes for numbers and pushes for us to do these things that I know in my heart is not right. You know, my husband's a police officer, and he's asked me to take advantage of that and have my husband help me get privy information on people so that we can find people that are skipping out on accounts and things like that. And, you know, that, you know, I would never ask my husband to do that because we are strong Christian people who believe that, you know, I mean, he's got this job and he's been given the privilege of having access to this information, and it would be an abuse of his privilege.
Got it. All right, Dawn, tell you what, stay right there and I will give you my input when we come back, and I'm sure others are listening because they're in difficult job situations as well.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Elohim is our fortress, even when crossed with demonic forces, scheming the torches. If it seems we lost, we can team with our voices and scream with a boisterous. Our God is a fortress.
It's the truth.
Our God is a fortress.
It is the truth. He's a fortress. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You can run to the Lord in the midst of all troubles, all difficulties, all calamities. He is faithful and true and unshakable. There is a place of refuge from the storms. We've been talking about it today on The Line of Fire. Also, having a special edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. So we're taking some calls to it, 866-34-TRUTH. So Dawn in Fort Worth, Texas, in the midst of a difficult job situation and one that you really don't believe in, and there's some unscrupulous things that take place. I had that happen to me twice over the years, married with two kids in grad school, where I came to a point where I felt the company was being dishonest and where I was not happy with the job I was doing, but I was the sole breadwinner for our family with two little kids. And I felt I could not continue to do it. And because it was sales related, when you don't believe in it, you're really in trouble. And I prayed, I felt I had to make a change, and God opened up another door, kind of a whole new area for me. I had really no background in it, but that became our provision for some years in sales. And then towards the end, I felt that they really wronged me, that some big contract I got for them that should have brought in a certain amount of income, they only paid me a smaller part. But in the midst of all that, God then called me to leave secular work and just go into ministry completely by faith. And even though the ministry position only met part of our needs, God supplied in other ways, and we've seen his faithfulness through the decades. So, Dawn, what I'd encourage you to do is this. Really, with your husband, really go to the Lord and ask him for a way to make a change, not just because you're having a hard time doing what you're doing, but because of the unscrupulous things happening around you. You know, God could change your attitude in the job, but there are these unscrupulous things that are taking place. And, you know, it's hard for you as an employee to change how your boss does things. And he's able. God right now is looking at 10,000 options for you, even if you don't see any. Literally. He has an amazing amount of options and other plans and other ways to do things. And I would really make it a matter of earnest prayer, personally, and then joining with others, for God to open the right door and bring you into a situation where you can work hard and do well, where needs are met, and you feel that you could be a blessing to others and something you believe in, and you'll be amazed at what he does. Sometimes we feel like there are no open doors, or if we leave one thing, nothing else will happen. So I would really pray and then look at it and even ask for divine guidance and divine providence. And then remember Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 that tell us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will guide our paths. Literally in Hebrew, he'll make our paths straight. And if you really will seek him earnestly like this, and the more burdened you are when you're driving in your car, when you're thinking about these things, just keep casting it on the Lord, casting it on the Lord, casting it on the Lord, and do what you know how to do to look. He'll open some things up for you, and I think you'll be amazed with the grace that comes your way.
Amen. Thank you so much.
And all right. Look forward to hearing a good report in the coming months. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, it's one thing when you're struggling. It's one thing when you are just having a hard time doing what you're doing, and God can encourage us in the midst of it. Oh, how many times did I want to quit things I was doing? How many times did I want to drop out of things I was doing at different times? You stay with it, and God does help. Your attitude can change. Your attitude can be lifted. And in the midst of something that was misery one day, it can be joy the next, because really it's the condition of your heart that makes the difference, isn't it? if you have joy and hope in your heart, that's the strength. But as Proverbs says, a wounded spirit, who can bear? At the same time, there are times of life transition. There are times where we just can't stay with a company because they're unethical or ungodly, or we can't affirm the stance that they're taking. The good news is the Lord really is faithful. And especially if you've honored him through the years, if you've given with generosity, if you've helped others, you've got some things on loan to the Lord, and he'll repay you. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, to review some of what I've talked about the last hour and 40 minutes. First thing to have confidence, know where you're going. Know where you're going. Know that if you leave this world, you go to be with the Lord, and no fear, because absent from the body is present with the Lord. Know, secondly, ultimately, who's in control? Jesus, who's risen, coming again, sits enthroned. Your Father is King. You're right with him. You can be absolutely, totally secure. It's like this 10-year-old bully picking on an 8-year-old kid, but the 8-year-old kid's dad is a defensive lineman in the NFL. When that kid's by the dad, that bully runs. That's how we feel confident in the presence of God. Number three, remember Romans 8:28. No matter how bad things may be in and of themselves, God can turn them for good. Number four, Philippians 4:6-8. Don't be anxious about anything. Everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that transcends human understanding will guard your heart, guard your mind in Messiah Jesus. And then think on those things that are pure and holy and good and righteous, and fill your mind with that. Be amazed how it washes out the hopelessness and depression and negativity. Number five, light shines brighter against darkness. I've told many people, and you've heard me say it on the radio, the good news is the bad news. Things are really messed up in the world. Things are really messed up in our society. Things are really getting worse in many ways. The good news is the gospel shines brighter in the midst of it. Light shines brighter against darkness. Oh, I am pained to see things that are happening. Here, I mean, look at this story. CBN News reported it. There's a boy who says he's a girl. He now can use the girls' bathroom in high school, and he's harassing the girls. According to the report, a high school in Colorado, the boy who identifies as a girl who can now use the girls' bathroom is harassing the girls. He's causing controversy by harassing female students in the girls' room, but he won't face any discipline. This despite vocal protests from the girls' parents. Why? Well, the school said that the boys' rights as a transgender trump their daughters' privacy rights. What? And the Pacific Justice Institute, civil rights group fighting for these girls, said, look, we're not going to stand by and let 99.7% of our students lose their privacy and free speech rights just because 0.3% of the population are gender confused. Well, that's maddening to hear. That's crazy to hear. However, we know that light shines in the midst of darkness. We know that the more messed up things are, the more God's ways will shine forth. And sometimes we do better as a persecuted minority than as a ruling majority. So we stand and do what's right all the more. Number six, if we fear the Lord, if we fear Yahweh, we have no other fears. We have no need to fear anything else or anyone else. The one who fears the Lord needs have no other fears. Number seven, when all chaos breaks loose on the earth, far worse than anything we have seen up to now, worse than any generation has ever seen. If we live to be that final generation in the final days and years of world history, and everything's shaking around us, Luke 21:28, lift your head. One translation says, straighten up. There you go, straighten up. Pull those shoulders back and look up, because your redemption draws near. In the midst of it all, number eight, be thankful, be thankful. Be thankful. You say, I don't have a lot to be thankful for. God is there. The fact that he is, the fact that Jesus is risen, be thankful. The fact that your sins are forgiven, be thankful. The fact that you know the Lord, be thankful. Meditate on His goodness. Take refuge in Him. Give thanks. And all hell can literally break loose around you. And you'll have joy and confidence in the midst of the trials. Okay, we come back. I'm going straight to the phone. So hang in there. I will get to your phone calls as soon as we come back. On the Line of Fire, words of hope and faith and encouragement and strength.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's go straight to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Jonah in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hello, Dr. Brown. Thank you for picking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Dr. Brown, my question is this. If you read the book of John, chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, it says, God is spirit, so those of us who worship God may worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, can you explain this to me? What does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean?
Yeah, that's, Jonah, it's a great question. Somehow we lost your call there. So, John 4, where Jesus says that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The first context there is the dispute between the Samaritans and the Jews about where God should be worshipped, Mount Gerizim, the Samaritans pointed to, or Jerusalem, that the Jewish people pointed to. And he was first saying that's not the focus. It doesn't matter which way you face when you pray in terms of really connecting with God. It doesn't matter what particular form or posture. You know, some people love to get dressed up to worship the Lord. Some people like to be casually dressed so they can be themselves when they worship the Lord. That's not where the focus is to be. The focus is to be knowing who God really is. And worship in spirit is worship from the heart to the Lord. Communing with Him, connecting with Him. Now, Jesus will come back to the earth. He will come back to Jerusalem. It doesn't mean that things in this world are not important. There will be world hatred against Jerusalem before He comes, but in terms of our worship, it's not to be directed to a place, but to a person. And although it's good to kneel and sometimes lay on our face before God or raise our hands before God, those are expressions of things from the heart. The emphasis has to be put on heart communion with God, connecting spiritually, and then renewing our hearts and minds to be worshipers of God through the day and all that we do to be honoring Him. The first reference in most of our English Bibles to the word worship is in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, where Abraham says he and Isaac will go worship and come back. This is an act of sacrifice he's about to make. The attitude is, my life given over to the Lord is an act of worship on a daily basis. 866-34-TRUTH. Gwen in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. And the reason that I'm calling you in particular is I do appreciate very much how you try to work through in a very calm, rational way various issues of the day. And the one that that we're currently dealing with in our family is I have a niece who is 28, who has recently gotten engaged to her her friend who is female. She's mm-hmm. embraced a lesbian lifestyle, and just your input, if this was your family member, as to how to continue to come alongside in a loving way and yet be stand firm in what God's Word has to say.
Yeah, and you know, Gwen, some people might say to me, why do you have to keep bringing this up? Well, the fact is, I'm hearing from folks just like you day and night. I'm constantly getting emails and questions. In fact, I could talk about it every day on the air, every hour. So these are things we can't avoid. In fact, God doesn't want us to avoid them. God wants us to bring an answer in the midst of this. Now, just a quick question for you. Does she claim to be a follower of Jesus?
It would be the God as she knows him. My God this and my God that.
Right. Yeah, so the biggest issue is not the lesbian relationship or the engagement. The biggest issue is creating a God in her own image, the God of her own thoughts, or the God who supports however she lives. And she may have been through some rejection because of her sexual desires, romantic attractions, and feeling turned off from church. Biggest thing is, without condoning the engagement, you know, there's nothing to celebrate. Oh, congratulations. If she invited you to a wedding, you have to politely decline. But in every other way, you just want to reach out to her. You want to be involved with her life. You don't want to make her lesbianism the big focus. You want to focus on her as a human being that you care about. Just like any other lost person who has a wrong view of God, you want to do what you know how to do to help lead her to Jesus. And that really has to be the heart and soul of it. That really has to be the whole emphasis. Whatever lifestyle choices she makes, engagement, so-called marriage, doesn't affect anything. You reach out to her the same way. If she was using drugs, if she was sleeping with a boyfriend out of wedlock, if she was an atheist, if she was going to a liberal church that denied the scriptures, same way, she's lost. She needs the Lord. And sometimes we can get so put off by these things that are so grievous and such a large part of our messed up society today. It's very easy to do that, but that doesn't help anything. So you can be burdened for her in prayer. And I always use this great secret weapon we have, namely prayer. And pray that God would convict her of her lostness and of her sin, that God would uproot in her life everything that's not from him. And then through that he'd bring her to repentance and faith. And you want to keep the door open as much as you can by just showing her real love, so that if she has a problem, if she has an issue, when she's thinking of who to talk to, that somehow she'd find safety with you. And that's obviously a key thing to do. Hey, Gwen, what's her name?
Kristen.
All right, let's just pray. Father, we pray for Kristen, that you would bring her to yourself, that Gwen would have a heart of a mother towards her, and that Gwen would be one that Kristen could take refuge in. I pray for conviction of sin in her life, that she'd recognize her lostness, that she wouldn't define herself by her romantic attractions and sexual desires, and that she'd find life and salvation in you. Give Gwen wisdom in Jesus' name. And forever, everyone else that applies to families, friends, we pray that same manifestation of grace. Hey, you want to be encouraged? You want to be stirred? You want to sit back and say, wow, God is amazing. We're making available again a DVD of one of the most amazing, stunning testimonies imaginable. The Son of Sam, the satanic serial killer, wonderfully saved, a meek, humble, Jesus-loving man of God. I had the privilege of sitting with him in his high-security prison years ago and was amazed at the work God had done in his life. From Son of Sam to Son of Hope, we have the definitive DVD testimony. It's yours for your gift of any size, normally $15 plus postage, but we want to send it out. You'll be ministered to, your family, your friends will be, and it'll be a word of warning about not playing with sin as well. Yours for your gift of any size, we'll pay the postage to. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the scriptures say that one day everything will be shaken. They also say the righteous will never be shaken.